Hey friends, welcome to the Renovating You podcast. We're so glad you're here. We don't get a do-over in life, but we do have the opportunity to renovate our story. Are you ready to get unstuck?
Are you ready to move forward?
Are you ready to thrive?
Let's do this, renovators.
Yes.
Hey renovators, and welcome back to the Renovating You podcast. We are continuing today with somewhat of the conversation we had last week, only we are putting Beth in the hot seat this week, right? Which is the place to be, because that's where Jesus sits, right?
There you go.
He's right. There with us. That. And so, so it's like, bring it on, right? So again, I am joined today with Bethany.
Hello.
Beth.
Hey.
And Alex with the finger guns. I am Denise, and we are so glad that you are here with us, or also known as, from your granddaughter, as Bunnies.
Bunnies.
With
Bunnies.
A B.
She did. We do our podcasting in the basement, and my daughter and her children are still living with us here for her and her husband for a little while longer, and she always wants to know when Bunnies is coming. And anytime I go downstairs, she says, is Bunnies down there and is Alex down there? So she literally thinks Bunnies and Alex live in my basement.
And sometimes it does feel like we
and
do.
And sometimes we're it feels like she is in my basement. So we're with Bunnies and Alex.
So anyway, welcome back, guys. And we hope that you enjoyed last week's podcast, where Bethany was able to share what God has been doing in her heart, how he is pruning her, has her on the potter's wheel. And I think I might even play a little bit of a song and introduce in some of these things. There's a little bit of a song that really like, that might just be a really good, like, fun moment, give the vibe that we're looking for in the podcast about the potter's wheel. So thank you so much for that. If you want to kind of know why what we're doing and how we're doing it, you can refer back to last week's podcast. We don't want to be redundant, right?
Redundancy.
We don't.
No. We don't. So, your time is precious.
So I'm looking to my right, and so today is...
Moi.
Yes, so we are focusing on Beth. And let me just ask you, what does it feel like to be focused on?
I was just going to say that. I'm like, she
what did I say before we started? Bethany, can you be me today?
She's like, can you speak for me? No, that's not happening.
In case you don't know, Beth is a 9 on the Enneagram.
Beth doesn't like to be in the hot seat.
She doesn't.
Or to be focused on.
She so prefers everyone else goes first.
Yeah, and I prefer handling the questions.
Yes.
And bringing them out.
But as she is learning and as her daughter and I continue to
gently pry her.
Encourage.
With the coals of fire.
Throw her on the wheel even when she doesn't want to go on the wheel.
That's good. Friends
call it forth.
Yes, because this lady has a lot of wisdom, a voice that is there, a voice that is being cultivated, and a voice that God is calling her into more. So we are going to talk about that.
We are.
And what that looks like. And so we're going to ask you the same thing that we asked Bethany. Now hers was more at Flourish and something called the Encounter that our church sponsors. Yours and mine, which mine will be next week, but ours came at an event in Texas.
Yes, it did.
That we were at a conference called Kingdom at Work. Mm-hmm. And one of the exercises that we were encouraged to do, there was an actual session on, which I think is so cool when you're talking about the workplace.
Yeah, talking about business.
Right? Talking about business, but the difference between kingdom business and a Christian business. And so we were there, asked for Renovating You. What does that look like? And there's an exercise that Holly, who was leading one of the sessions, basically said how to hear from God. Mm-hmm. So we tested it out.
We
right?
went.
Amongst other people that were also doing that.
Yeah.
And it basically starts out is saying, my dearest Beth.
Yeah.
So what followed after that?
She had us, you know, it was very interesting. I mean, you would understand doing something like this at a church event. Mm-hmm. But again, they're talking to business owners and people that work in the marketplace. And so why do we differentiate the market from, our call in the church? I mean, they're both, God is within us. And so are we cultivating what he's saying to us, not just at church on Sundays, but also throughout the weekday at work? And what is his heart towards you? And what does he say to you? And so she said, I want you all to pull out a piece of paper And we're going to take the next couple minutes, and we're going to listen to God, and I want you to write down what he hears you saying. Mm-hmm. And we will talk about me, but I thought what was so interesting is the number of people, a lot of men, mm-hmm. right? And how they spoke. It was like their personality came through, the things that they spoke of themselves, the words that they used, the verbiage, seeing people just cry and being broken, mm-hmm. people saying that I've never even taken the time to sit and even listen to God, yet mm-hmm. alone for myself, maybe for somebody mm-hmm. else to pray for, but to actually say, God, speak to me about, not about how you see this at work, but how do you see me? Mm-hmm. You know, and if you've never done that, I've never done that.
I haven't either.
I've never sat with a pen and paper and said, God, how do you, I'm not going to think about, I'm just going to write. I'm not going to edit as I write. I'm not going to double think and go, no, different word. I'm just going to write. Mm-hmm. And so that was, yeah, I don't know how many minutes, but I could have used more, mm-hmm. which I'm thinking this is going to be the longest 3 minutes in history. How many times can I write and or yeah. And I can't write And it didn't. Mm-hmm. It was like the pen just kept flowing. And of course there was mm-hmm. a theme, you know, to that. But yeah. By the time I was mm-hmm. done with that, I thought, okay. And then she said, I want you to go to the person on your right, and I want you to write what you hear God saying about them. Mm-hmm. And for many people, they didn't know the person on their right, mm-hmm. correct, you know? And so then it's like, okay, Lord, I really need to hear you because I don't know anything about their story or who they are. We need to in both instances, but it was definitely more like, God, I'm begging, please show mm-hmm. up, please show yeah. up, you know? Mm-hmm. So that became, I heard some very strong words from the Lord that kind of stood out to me at that time and kind of ruminated through what that message was. So yeah, we can unpackage maybe that. Yeah. Or
so that was sure. That was the first week of May mm-hmm. Is when we went to that conference. So yeah, we're a little over a month since then.
Yes.
And I think what's interesting too is hearing Bethany, her story from last week, and hearing yours, and then knowing mine of what happened. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting how God shows up as though he knows us, but like our personality, not even like our, exactly. what we, our beliefs are, or even that, just the individual way in which that he knows his creation.
Right.
And what I thought was so cool is I was in that room, maybe like 40 people, I'm guessing somewhere in there, maybe a little bit more, I don't know. And to know that he was in the room, Holy Spirit was in the room. And again, he already was in the room, whether we wanted to hear from him or not. But when we actually, when each person actually invited him mm-hmm. to speak, there was no, I need to warm up. Let me get back with you. None of that.
Oh, no.
It was immediate, which tells me so much that he wants to speak with us. We don't need prep time.
No.
We don't need to be in a certain posture.
A certain it's like mood.
Certain mood. Mm-hmm. Have to have certain struggles going on in the day for him to come in and save the day. Mm-hmm. It's just, he just wants to have dialogue mm-hmm. with us. Mm-hmm. And when he does, I mean, you know it's from him.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I was going to say, I remember you guys just telling me this last week, and I did mm-hmm. it for myself, and I probably only had about like 5 minutes or what. And I mean, my pen was flowing mm-hmm. and then and it was crazy. Then I told my friend, Katie, mm-hmm. I'm like, do it. And what she said that the Lord spoke to her was like, those were not Katie's mm-hmm. words. Mm-hmm. Like it was so right? God. So that, I mean, that. What you're saying is the Lord wants to speak. We just don't stop and listen. We don't take mm-hmm. the time. And I think that's the key. You have to take the time to hear, because I believe, like what you said, Denise, he is speaking all the time.
He is.
But mm-hmm. we just second guess it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it has been a really, really cool experience.
Yeah.
Really, just really
and
cool
that
experience.
One that shouldn't stop and end at Texas for us. You
no.
know what I mean? That's something
no,
that we
I was,
need
yeah.
to, yeah, to do on the regular. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just to be disciplined, mm-hmm. to sit with the Lord. And mm-hmm. but see, again, we pray for other people, or we might even pray for our business or whatever. But I know you love me, God. Like, mm-hmm. you don't really need, I mean, you know, words of affirmation really even aren't my thing. I mm-hmm. you know, I even tell myself that, like, I'm good with, you know, I love you once a year. I'm cool. You know, of course I'm not, but I'm just saying, even in that, it's like, I don't need this. I don't need this. You know, I do need this. We do need to hear from the Lord. We do need that. And so,
and I think too, just your, you know, your wiring and who you are, that I think maybe what is even more special for this is that probably your temperament asks for very little.
Very little, yeah.
And to actually ask God at that moment to show up for you, Beth. Not, well, I hope he does for Denise. She really needs it. Or hope Brent's getting something here or whatever. Or hope everybody's good.
Was in my brain.
I know.
When was it really?
100%. 100%. Lord, I know you love me, and this is a really cute thing to do, but please,
please touch what you need to Denise.
Well,
me,
yeah,
but not me.
I mean, because you're right next to me. I said, God, please give her everything she needs. Let her know how much you as a father love her. Oh, yeah, back to this. And I'm not saying that like, oh, I think of others first. It's just,
that's
I don't need.
No, yeah, that's how you
I
think.
Don't, yeah, I mean, I do need it, but in my mind, I'm like, I'm good. I don't need this. Like, I know he loves me. But of course, when you go through that experience, you're like, I could become addicted with this. Let's do it again. You know,
right?
but even when my head hits, I was like, I pray. That was my prayer. Not God speak to me, but hey, God, remember Denise. Remember the father wound. Come on. Now's your time. Be big. That's your time to show off. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, you were in my brain on that one because I absolutely, so, it's like, okay, let's go. You know?
So let's talk then. About, start us out and we'll kind of go from there. Like, what was like a theme of it, of what he's spoken to you?
Yeah, the theme to me was just delight. You know, it was one of, you know, that he delighted. One of the themes that I kept hearing was about being like a long distance runner, which I'm not. I've run many long distance races, but I would not be considered a long distance runner. However, if I was to have to race in a sprint or a long distance run, I would pick the run. And even in the Lord using that dialogue, I don't think about running. I do run, but I don't think, it's not like I love it. It's just a way of being out in nature for me and going to some pretty fun places. And so even that language that he used, he didn't say you run your, you know, this race as a sprinter with passion and whatever, because that's not me. I mean, I don't know that I run life with passion for the Lord, but not the same passion other people seize the day and wake up at 3 a.m. and every hour is I don't run with that kind of passion. I'm not wired like that, but I'm very steady. I'm just like a good dog. Like, I'm going to be there for you.
You're a good beagle.
I'm just a good beagle. You just pat my head, give me a treat about mile three. And I will finish this race for you, but I'm not the one who's going to run out, you know, to win or to lead. So I don't know that. I just thought even that thing that the Lord was just saying that, you know, being a long distance runner and you've gone the distance and there's been consistency and there's been small little breaks, but you're always getting back up, which is true. I've never allowed myself to get sidelined. I didn't think the Lord is. I've seen areas in my life that I have, but I wouldn't say that, oh yeah, 1990 to 2000, boy, that was a wash. You know what I mean? Like, I've always been in the game. Now we can talk about how I haven't been as engaged as I should be.
Which we will.
Yeah, don't forget that. But I've been in the game.
I got it written down in my notes.
I might be running a 12-minute pace, but I'm running.
So let me ask you something, because as you were talking, I was just wondering, so someone who is your temperament, did any part of it, if you're looking at it as long distance, to me, like, long distance can also sound very arduous, very strenuous, like, when do I get a break? When do I get to pull away from this? When do I just get to be about me? Any of those thoughts come to you? Because it can come of saying, he knows I'm faithful. To me, that's what a long distance runner is. They're faithful to the run.
And to the process.
Yeah. And to the process. But I also know that as we keep growing, right, and we are pushing new horizons and renovating you, and we're all wired very differently. Bethany's like, let's roll.
Get it done.
3 years ago, she's like, let's roll. I'm like, we are so not ready to roll because the fear comes in. We don't have this. We don't have that.
That hasn't been done. We got to do this.
And you're like, well, how long is it going to take? And is this going to overtake my life? You know?
I know. I could tell you, Katie, like, when I ask, what's the date on this? When are we going to get the pool done?
I'm like, I don't know. I haven't gotten that far.
I kept running up against the wall.
Yeah, you did. I kept putting that wall up real high.
So did any of that come in at all? Like, does that part sometimes scare you of like, Lord, when's the break?
It depends. No. Okay. See, with a long distance run, mm-hmm. I set my own pace. So just finish the marathon. It doesn't have to be in two. It can be in 2 hours. You go, girl. It can be an hour and 40 minutes. It can be in 5 hours. Mm-hmm. So I can set my own pace. And I could be consistent plodding along. It's when new things get thrown at me and it's got to be done. And even though I know you don't know how to do that, you're going to learn because you're capable and you're equipped. And there's no end in sight. And somebody keeps pushing on me. At some point, I do have to rest. But with that long distance, I just felt like the Lord's delight in that there's been none of the sideline. Not that I haven't taken time for myself. I most certainly have. Mm-hmm. But even when... you know, I might be taking a break. It's just for rest because, as we know, our body needs to rest and needs to heal, which will make us even stronger in the race. You know, the part of, you know, just your natural part of muscular development and such. So I do need breaks, most definitely. I can't run at that push speed. When I was younger, I could. But even then, I still needed to just take a break, ministry or not, or work. It was like... I know when I'm in my sweet spot, and man, I know when I'm not. And so for me, when I heard the delight in the long distance, the tenacity, again, there was injuries along the way. Injuries might have been my own self-thoughts. Injuries could have been from people within the church. It, you know, could have been from without. It could be, you know, a number of things. But I knew this is not going to take me out. I knew enough to go, I'm injured maybe for the month of May or for this week. Can't run tomorrow, but I'm coming back. So if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what it looks like to be the steady runner that just hasn't turned an ankle. It's just everybody else has fallen to the side here or this. I'm saying, oh, my legs are cramping or whatever. And you're like, no, I'm good. And then all of a sudden something happens where you're like, now I have my own injury. Man, I wasn't prepared for this. I don't have injuries. You know, I've prepared, I've done. So talk about the injury part, but then also talk when you've come back, as you said, from the injury, like what did that process look like? Like what has God revealed to you in all of that as he's growing, Beth?
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to use the runner analogy, somebody would say, wow, you've run marathons. Yes, I did. Probably a lot of people haven't, so yay, right?
Me, one of them.
Yeah, no. Right. Like that's cool. Like I did that. Yeah, got the medals in the shirt. Awesome, great. However... sometimes we can run races, run life, journeys, whatever. And even though have the medal and the t-shirt and the picture, we weren't as engaged. We did it just to, I did it, check. There was no life involved in it. It was just duty. It was almost like get back on the hamster wheel and go, right? And the monotony of it became kind of comfort because I do like routines. And so much like anything I do, if it's a routine, I'm very comfortable in it. Well, sometimes I need to be shocked out of that routine because it's not serving. It's not moving maybe the kingdom of God forward. It's not moving me as a spirit-led believer forward, right? It's not moving my family forward. And so I need to be shocked off, right? I need to be put in a quick sprint or something. So, you know, just because I did that, if I'm using that as a total analogy right now, and I did do that, but it's just an analogy, doesn't mean parts of that, the mile, you know, the wall that you hit at mile 21 apart, were pleasant, right? You know, drudging through. I know this is just part of it, or, you know, this is just part of the Christian walk. You know, people are going to do whatever, or they're going to disappoint you, or they're going to let you down, Beth. Just get back on. It's the right thing to do. Just keep going. So you almost get numb. It's just like, it's the right thing to do. And I'm someone who, I so follow the rules, like to a fault. Like be home at 10, that's 9:40, right? It wasn't so much that I feared the outcome. It was just, I followed the rules. I've just always been an obsessive rule follower. And so that was probably part of my push too, is that this is just what we do. we finish the race. Mm-hmm. We started, we said yes, and we finish it. I don't care if you're dragging.
Could it be almost like that, maybe because that was like instilled in you, that was the home that you came from, coming to know Christ as a, you know, as a little girl,
sure,
and following that path. Could it be as well that it's like I made the decision to run the long race and now I'm not thinking about it anymore? I really am kind of on autopilot. Like, yeah. I made that commitment decades ago.
Yeah.
Because you're in your 50s. I made that decades ago.
Yeah.
I don't have to think about it anymore.
Not at all.
I'm just doing what I do.
Yeah.
So
and this is what I do. And again, sometimes the passion is lacking, which the passion then might be reading the Word of God and it doesn't come alive. Mm-hmm. Or I'm in ministry. I'm using air quotes. I am in ministry, but I mean, I'm there. I'm engaged, but I'm not. I have my agenda of what I want to say to this person or whatever. I'm not allowing the Holy Spirit to work through me because I'm, you know, I know what I'm going to say and I know what I'm going to do and I'm planned and I'm a person of routine, right? Mm-hmm. And so new ideas or new thoughts can almost like offend me. Like, well, you're saying what I've been doing isn't good. Well, you know, it's silly when you think because God has called
us. I've been running the race. So
right.
I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah, you've even gotten off the couch. I mean, I've been in this thing, you know. Mm-hmm. And so while I don't, you know, have any sort of animosity towards myself for not always being engaged, I understand. I mean, yeah, I kind of get annoyed when I think of seasons that I was not engaged. But at the same time, I also am very grateful for the Lord showing me some things during that season so that he did kind of shock me into, you know.
No, because I was saying, I was just thinking about running and the whole concept of just going. And if you're on autopilot just doing that, I almost feel like that can be more dangerous than if God doesn't keep shocking you. It's almost like now that you're lukewarm, but what does the word say? I'd rather, you know, spit you out. You're lukewarm. Like, you're just on autopilot. Yeah, you're doing what I'm supposed to be doing, but there's no, like, there's no passion. There's no zeal. So when the Lord comes and shocks you, it's like, wait, what?
Right.
I thought I was doing... You want me to say what? You want me to do what?
Yeah.
You want me to go faster now?
Yeah.
Wait, I thought we were good just like this. And it's like, no, now it's time to notch it up. You're still good. I love you, but let's take it a notch up or let's slow it down a notch, whatever season of life you're in. Because I feel like that's like, even when you're running and you have to burn calories, what do? You have to do a HIIT routine, right?
Right, yeah.
To burn those calories. So same thing, like if I want to burn more calories, I could walk, you know, a whole hour. But if I walk for 10 minutes and sprint for 4 minutes, I'm burning more calories that way.
Yeah.
I think too, that's really good analogy. I love the running analogy. And I think even that,
like,
you know, the Lord
gave
that. Yeah.
He
knew, right?
It made me smile.
It's just so awesome.
Yeah.
So awesome. So in like thinking of the running analogy, I think when you first started out, you were saying that, you know, you're more of the long distance runner because you get to set the pace.
Yes.
And I think what you've realized in this last year, maybe year and a half even, as it's more is being pushed, you're growing more, you're 2 years even. Tell how long it's been.
Probably about 2 years.
But that it isn't like you're running, now I have to run two marathons. It's like running the same distance, but he now was saying, this is how I want you to run.
Exactly. I'm not my own pace.
And there's an attentive.
I'm not my own pacer.
There's an attentive ear. Has there been any fear in that? Like, what if I can't do this? Am I going to burn out?
Most certainly. Oh. And the funny you would use the word burnout because even when I run races, like I started doing triathlons, and I really love those because they're not as long, you know, of a race. It's been interesting because I've had a number of people say, you should push yourself. I'm like, I don't even know you. Like, why are you in my space? No, seriously. Like,
you don't owe me one.
You know, I don't owe you an explanation for why I traipse across. I am conserving my energy. I didn't say that, but I'm like, oh, yeah, I know. I don't want to go all out, right? Now, I don't really know the psych behind that, but I do know with myself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's ahead, so I have to, like, conserve my energy. Because if I burn it all up at the swim... What
that's
am I going to do?
Personality type.
That is too, exactly. But see, you can do that in life. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't want to give too much on Monday because I got to do something on Wednesday. Oh, well, wait, the weekend's bit, right? And it's like, where is the supernatural God in all that? Mm-hmm. You know, it's true.
Good.
Some people need more. You know, some people can go. And even if I was 20, I would still say the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But my whole lot, even coaches, that would frustrate the cooties because I don't sweat a lot. I work hard, but I don't always sweat a lot. It's not that I'm in that great shape, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not. I just don't just, not the drenching sweaty person.
I have the your sweat glands.
Yeah, my sweat. Mine. I would like some because my face gets red, but it's like nothing's coming out of me. So people would equate that to, why don't you just try to exert yourself and your time would be better? Mm-hmm. And it's like, why don't you just mind your own business and let me pace my energy? So naturally, when anybody wants to push, mm-hmm. there's a little bit of resistance. Yes. Like, don't you be telling me. I know my body. And I know what I need, and I don't need you to push me. Mm-hmm. Now, again, I'm not saying that. This is all going through my head.
Right.
So you can imagine when the Lord gives you a gentle nudge, and it's like, well, Lord, you know what this, you know how busy I am this, mm-hmm. and you know, and it's like silence. Mm-hmm. Silence. I go, God, that was you, right? Because again, I'm not gonna necessarily push myself, mm-hmm. right? I mean, I sometimes need to get shocked. But it's mm-hmm. interesting you said burnout, because I've always been afraid of being burned out, mm-hmm. that I hold back so many times, mm-hmm. because I don't want to finish and then just die. Not. Mm-hmm. I don't mean my, you know, literally die. You know what I mean? Like I can't ever do this again.
Yeah.
Yeah. But even in that, mm-hmm. you can run very passionless no matter what. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I don't want to be too good. Right. But mm-hmm. I don't want to suck. Mm-hmm. Like, no. I got to be above half, maybe two thirds. Mm-hmm. You know, even in that, I don't want to shine, because then if I do another race, then they'll kind of be looking to see what I do. Mm-hmm. I don't want that. Mm-hmm. So I don't even know if I'm capable of that. But if I was, I don't want to do that. I'll just kind of hold back. And so mm-hmm. all these things that we do to keep the peace, mm-hmm. right, to keep from being seen, to being heard. So we'll take that long distance sprint. Mm-hmm. And at least we're always active and in the game. You know, mm-hmm. we're always doing something for the Lord, right?
Right.
We just keep going. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But don't tell me to do something I don't like or want, because I'm going to pace myself.
Or that's going to challenge me, or it's going to make me uncomfortable, right? Or all something new where it's like, what is going, you know, I do this. This is how I run it. Mile four looks like this. Yep. Water bottles at mile five.
Got it all, baby.
You know, whatever the case may be.
Hey, renovators. We just want to take a pause in our conversation here to welcome our sponsor, CJ Warren, located here in Crown Point, Indiana. CJ Warren is a full service salon, anywhere from skin to hair. And a lot of you guys have said that you love my hair. So let's take a listen to Karina, who is the owner, and why she decided to sponsor Renovating You.
Every year we set a goal as a salon where we want to put our energy as far as with each other and our guests, the other businesses that we support. And this year in December, we decided that it should always come from a place of love. So that was our goal this year. It was like, make sure that everything we do and support is from a place of love. And I was so inspired by the things you were telling us about your passion in this podcast and renovating you, where you came from with it and what your all-time goal is with it, to help people just really renovate themselves and be their best person and start from the inside out. And it just spoke to me about, you know, what we do is very outward. We're serving other people. We're doing it from a place of love, in a way to help them look beautiful on the outside. And you're just doing the same exact thing from the inside. I just thought that was so wonderful, and that we could support your cause, because we feel the same way. We want to help people put their best face forward. We want to see people's true beauty shine through. And definitely when you have that inner peace and inner joy, it's reflected in your appearance. And the two together are like the perfect combination to show what true beauty is. So we're excited to be able to support this podcast.
So if you are in Northwest Indiana and you would like a new do and a new you, visit CJ Warren here in Crown Point, Indiana.
So as we're talking about this, talk about then when the Lord, in part of your word that he gave you when he was speaking to you, was using your voice unapologetically.
Yeah, which I thought that's because I'm not one to offend people. I've had people say that my words, while they were harsh, they knew my heart towards them, because we've been mm-hmm. friends for a while, and they asked my advice. So when they said harsh, they just meant you spoke the truth, mm-hmm. and it kind of hurt because you were onto something. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I've never like intentionally offended or have a tongue. I filter before I speak. I'm not one that's a verbal processor. I think it all through and then I speak. I hope that came out clear, right? So to even hear that word unapologetic, because
what did that do to you?
Yeah, well, that, you know, as you look at what you get, it's like using your voice unapologetically. I'm like, oh yeah, because a lot of times I'll soften it, like, I don't want to hurt your feelings, or I hope you know my heart, mm-hmm. or hear what I'm saying, or
you do the sandwich. Compliment, yeah. Instruction, compliment.
Yes.
Or I've also heard...
Which isn't a bad idea.
No, I've also heard from you at times where you'd be like, yeah, I knew this, but I didn't say anything.
Oh, like, I do that a lot.
The thoughts all go through.
Yes.
It's all there, but I'm like, yeah, it's in the vault.
Yeah, it lies in my gut. My gut is like, my gut is thinks smarter than my brain. And a lot of times I disregard that part of me. And I bypass that and everything mm-hmm. in me. So I do what I know I'm not supposed to, or vice versa. And I reason in my head and I rationalize it. And I can explain to you why I didn't. And if I was in a court of law, you'd be like, yeah, you know, the plaintiff is right. She's not guilty. And I'd walk away. But the reality is, you know, I am holding back many times. Mm-hmm. I do sandwich. I really think about it, what I'm going to say to a fault sometimes.
Yeah. Does your gut, though, because you said you hear a lot in your gut, so when maybe you have to say something to somebody, do you just disregard that feeling and you're just like, oh, I'm just going to be quiet?
Well, it'll hit me in the gut first. Uh-huh. And then I'm like, what is, and then I, oh, okay. Oh. But I've learned that when I bypass that, mm-hmm. sometimes it's cost me or people. And so I shouldn't say I don't. I try so hard.
Not to do that
because I know it's been costly. And yeah. So when I feel like I'm hearing mm-hmm. something or should say something, even if it makes somebody feel uncomfortable, it's not to make them feel uncomfortable or to make me. It's just, you know, mm-hmm. I'm talking about somebody in a close relationship. I mean, I doubt that I'm going to speak unapologetically, you know, to just someone that I don't know. But even at that, if I'm speaking
at a though, even like in class or things like that, when you've said hard things,
yeah,
you know. So I have seen that. Yeah. I have seen that change. Since renovating you has started.
Yeah, I could most definitely be unapologetic about truth. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I don't worry about how that's being received. I think I worry if people perceive me different than I am. I don't like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or judge me in a way that is a false light. Like, no, that's mm-hmm. like, you don't know me. Like, you don't know how hard mm-hmm. this was for me to even say this, you know? And so mm-hmm. I've had to learn, especially in the ministry that we do.
Yes.
We're cheering you on most definitely, but we're also speaking some hard things, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Not because we want to rip anybody. We're speaking the truth in love because we want there to be growth. We've experienced it and we want other people to. Mm-hmm. And so to hold back doesn't do anybody any good. Mm-hmm. And when exactly. I say speak hard, I just mean speaking some, you know, maybe some self-effacing things about myself or about what I see in you that you've asked me to be that person in your life.
Yeah.
Well, if you'd asked me to be that person, what a horrible person would I be if I didn't say it because I don't want to offend. Mm-hmm. I don't want to offend. Well, you've called me into that part of your life. Mm-hmm. And so a true friend, if I say yes to mm-hmm. it, acts like a true friend. And that is yes. somebody who speaks the truth with yes. With grace, right?
Yeah.
With love, with compassion, but with authority.
Yeah.
And unapologetic.
And not a superiority either.
No.
It's not that. And I think a lot of times, you know, certain personalities are afraid of people viewing them as they're self-elevating or they think I'm better.
Yeah,
and so I have to make myself appear as though I'm not. But what I have realized, because Alex is a 9 and a lot of our work has been that, and I see the same in you, is that there is an untapped source mm-hmm. that, because people, when they talk to you, including me as your friend, when I talk to you, mm-hmm. it's like I trust you and your wisdom, so I need for you to show up for
yeah.
me.
Exactly.
I think it's unusual maybe for a 9 to feel like they have anything to offer, even though they kind of do,
yeah.
but they don't really operate in that way.
Exactly.
And so that's something I think that I have seen in you as your friend and also ministry partner. We spend a lot of time together, mm-hmm. is that maybe realizing that your race, though it's the same long distance, is meant to look way different than what you've actually thought.
Most definitely.
Even though it is, quote unquote, just Beth.
Yeah. because there is, I never want to be, you know, appear that I'm elevating myself, or that there would be a perception that, mm-hmm. oh, she thinks she's better than us, mm-hmm. or none of that. And then just even to be, you know, a doctor's wife in and of itself was like, can you pick a different, like, do you want to go into chemistry or biology? Like, really, we're going to do this? Because mm-hmm. to me, that was like, I remember thinking, I don't know if I want that. Mm-hmm. Like, I loved my husband, but I don't like that you're going to be a doctor. Not because you're going to be busy or people need you. There was no insecurity. And, oh, you're, it was, I have this role of a doctor's wife. And in my mind, she wasn't a nice person. That was wrong to assume. That was totally wrong to assume. Mm-hmm. But that's what that person was. Mm-hmm. And so even taking that role, I didn't have a problem with the pastor's kid as much, but the doctor's wife, I struggled with that, you mm-hmm. know? And then to be a strong personality, you know, it's like, oh, well, great, right? So even more, even yet another reason to pull back the curtain mm-hmm. and shut it down, right? Don't show up, don't speak, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just don't offend, you know? Apologize if you do say something hard. Apologize if you're gonna, mm-hmm. you might offend even in speaking, so just preface it with an apology. Mm-hmm. So when I got that word unapologetically, to use your voice, it was like, okay, well, that's humorous, Lord.
Yeah. Bethany and I are like, okay, thank you, Lord.
Yes, more, Lord, more,
give us more, Jesus.
Yes, yes. So as we are finishing up here, I think a great way to finish is, those of you may or may not know that Beth's brother, Pastor Ron, is the pastor of the church, but he was not the founding pastor.
That is correct.
Your dad was, correct. Right? Ron Sr. was the pastor of the church. And though your brother has great giftings,
he's an amazing
your
teacher.
Mm-hmm. giftings are like your dad's.
Yes, very much.
Yeah.
Your dad was groundbreaking. He was, this needs to happen.
Let's go.
Right? Mm-hmm. Let's go. But mm-hmm. no one's doing it. It's uncomfortable. We're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And brought all of that.
Right.
And so how has it been? Because he's been gone 4 years?
Correct. Yes.
4 years.
4 years.
And I know that multiple people have spoken over you that you are to be carrying that mantle.
That's correct.
That it's not Pastor Ron to be carrying that mantle. He's doing his own thing.
He's doing what God's called him to do.
That's not what he's called to do. But correct. You are called to carry that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very connected with your dad emotionally mm-hmm. and as
oh,
a
yeah.
daughter and all of that. So as you are going through that process, how do you think that maybe now, as you have gotten the words that God has given you, how do you think that maybe the shouldering of that mantle mm-hmm. might look different, feel different?
Yeah, I think it does. And again, sometimes when you come into a ministry that you help, like anytime he was counseling, or I always loved getting his books, or I'd always love to talk to him. Like, I mean, I didn't know with whom he was speaking, mm-hmm. but we talk about different things that he had done throughout the day or whatever, you know. And I loved that. You know, I loved that because it was like, it just, mm-hmm. Just to see God move and to be able to call mm-hmm. things out. And I mean, he wasn't saying all of that, but I would hear from the person, you know, mm-hmm. man, your dad, I read my mail today, got this and that, you know, but that was just so intriguing to just be so connected to the Lord that, you know, somebody comes in and they think this is the problem. And through the ministry God's given you and the wisdom and the yielding, mm-hmm. it's like, actually, that I don't think that's a problem here, you know. And, you know, Bethany, you dealt with pride. Right. You mentioned last week, if you haven't listened to last week's, Bethany talks about her struggle with pride. And I think when you think of your grandpa, he walked with such humility.
Such
you know what I mean?
Humility.
But such power. Mm-hmm. And so
authority.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think I've had a false identity mm-hmm. that walking in power looks, again, I had the best role models mm-hmm. in my parents. Okay. I mean, two of the most, my mother, too. My goodness. But we were talking about my dad. Two of the most humble, and I don't mean humble but prideful. I mean humble,
no, humble.
People. Mm-hmm. But when they walked in, they carried an authority.
Yes.
And it wasn't because they were the loudest in the room or because they demanded it. None of that. Because that was God's presence on their life. And so I don't know that I've carried that mantle well in many aspects, because I don't know if I've been afraid of it, or I'm very similar to my dad, but it's different when you're a woman, you know, a little bit even too, in that, you know what I'm saying? A man carrying it and woman, you know, because it's that, it's something where, you know, you're, you know, the Lord's put you in a role to be able to speak to people and to, you know, to love them and to call them forth, but to be able to get to some ugly places in people's hearts, you know, and to be able to do that gently, but in a way that, that God moves. And so how I haven't wielded it is I've silenced it, right? Because I don't know what it looks like, or I don't know in this new season how to carry it properly. You know, it's like I got the armor, but I think I need to be, it needs to be tailored, you know, rather than
could
saying,
it even be the armor's too big
well,
for me?
Well, perhaps that too.
I wonder.
Yeah.
Is it that, that's like, that's not me, that was my dad.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you make a mistake, Lord? Are you sure this is really, I'm the one that's supposed to carry this?
And yet I know in my heart, because we're wired so much alike, even when I'm with my mom, she's like, it's like talking to your father, you know, laughing, but I know I have that. But the way I saw him do it was like perfection, you know, in my mind, you know, daughter's eyes are like, he didn't make a mistake with this. And so, again, it's that pulling back. Don't make a mistake. Don't go too fast. You don't want to burn out. Instead of, I mean, you know, the loaves and the fish, like there was always enough. There was always enough. And so I need to remind myself that when there's people, there's always enough. I might fall short, but God, you're always enough in me. Yeah. And so that's one thing my dad did well. And I want to steward that well. I want to steward that mantle of, you know, inner healing and soul wounds, what the Lord's given me. I want to hold it lightly. And that, God, you do what you do. But I want to steward in this season what he's given me with respect, with honor, with dignity, and with authority. And unapologetically.
Yeah. And I think it's not getting so caught up in your head, or I have to do it the way that, you know, grandpa did it. But yeah, grandpa carried it a different way. You're still carrying that mantle, but it's in the Beth way.
Correct.
It's not in the, you know.
I don't need to compare.
No. And I think as we're wrapping this up, then obviously I want you to finish it, you know, whatever you, you know, would like our listeners to hear from you. But I think one of the things that I think that if your dad was sitting here at this podcast, that he would say, your heavenly father has equipped you and called you, and as your earthly father, I have raised you.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
And equipped you.
Yeah
By example, by love, by being groundbreaking, by trying new things, by saying, I don't know what we're going to do, and God's going to show up.
I
don't have the answers all figured out, which is hard for a lot of us. We want to know it's all going to go well before we step into it. But I think, and again, I only had one conversation with your dad, but just from the testimonies I've heard, is that he showed up in a way every day that said, God, what do you want me to do today?
He showed up in the ordinary messes of people in people's lives.
Yes.
What were you going to say, Bethany?
No, he did. And yeah, he showed up there. And I feel like he would say, you know, okay, kid, it's in you already. Like, why are you holding yourself back?
He most certainly would.
Go play the game.
He would.
Just walk it out.
That's what he'd say. Walk it out. Walk it out. Because you know whose you are. Correct. We know we've won. Correct. You know there's a fight. I know that. Go get in the game. Right? Put your helmet on.
And I think, too, another thing, and then I'll stop talking. how do you get to that next place is just continually in a helpless state of, Lord, I need you today. Show up. But walking, it's like, it's weird because I feel like I'm in that stage now where it's like a humility, but you know your authority too.
Yes,
And that's always just being in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Just being in the presence. Like, well, like that desperation.
Wasn't even the, I'm not sure where in the Gospels it is, but wasn't it even when the disciples couldn't do what he had empowered them to do? Because they didn't believe that they could. They didn't believe that they could, even though he said, I've empowered you to do it, but it's too big. It's too much. It's like, that's not me. That's you. That's your, that's you, Jesus. Right. Not, I'm just Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you know, whatever you want to, however you want to label it all.
And I think humility too is a posture of our heart. You know, it's saying, I know like if I get the mic or whatever. Now, if I go in best power, mm-hmm. no. But if I've prepared, I know the Lord's going to show up. He always mm-hmm. has. He will continue to. But I need to keep that mentality mm-hmm. when I think I need to pull back or I need to sideline myself or don't go mm-hmm. too fast. Don't burn yourself out or don't get up front. You don't want people mm-hmm. to think you're in charge and then they're going to give you mm-hmm. all this nonsense. But to say, Lord, you've entrusted me with a mm-hmm. gift, just like every one of the listeners, Bethany, Denise, Alex, mm-hmm. every one of us sitting here has been given a gift by mm-hmm. God. And how am I going to finish with this gift? And mm-hmm. I felt like the past couple decades have been me getting maybe used to my armor, if you will. And now it fits. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Now it fits. And I want to keep it oiled. I want to keep it, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And if yeah. there comes a season where I need a new armor, bring it on, right? But not to be afraid. Like, hey, I've worn this armor for 40 years.
Or you don't want to leave it in the closet.
I don't want to leave it in the closet.
I want to use it.
Yes. Yeah. And I want to use it and to not compare what I believe this ministry looks like. But God, what does it look like mm-hmm. through each one of us? Mm-hmm. How is it expressed? And not to get stuck in my head, but to walk it out. And mm-hmm. that would be one way that I could begin to mm-hmm. be more engaged and not really, if I'm honest, I'm hindering the work of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to do that. I don't mm-hmm. want to do that. Not in this day and age. There's no mm-hmm. time for that foolishness.
Yeah. Yeah. So when the enemy comes, like we asked Bethany last week, what are some ways in which you will be able to battle that and how can you encourage our listeners to be able to battle it?
I mean, he will come. I wish to tell you that he wouldn't, but he will come. I find the more I engage with him, the less his voice is so loud in my ear. Doesn't mean he doesn't come on a different battlefield, or maybe a different ground that I'm not used to. Like, oh, I didn't know you'd show up here. Oh, you showed up at church? Wow. Right. Hello, mm-hmm. you're sitting next to me. And the
this
person,
is God's house.
Wow,
what are you doing
the
here?
Lady that just said something awkward to me. Oh, you showed up in her. No. Yeah. But you know, he will have, I mean, it's almost like, how healed are you, Beth? Mm. I know your story, and you know your story. Today's going to be fun, right? Let's see what happens here. Mm-hmm. But it's so, when I see those attacks, it's like, I know myself, right? I know God in me now. Mm-hmm. I know Beth. I didn't know Beth. I knew God, but I didn't know Beth. I know Beth. Mm-hmm. I don't know her. I know there's still a lot to learn about me, but I'm telling you, I'm not some of you that know yourself. You're like, that's so weird. No, I didn't really know myself, but mm-hmm. I know myself now. I know my likes. I know my dislikes. I know a lot about myself that when I know the enemy striking and I can feel it, right? I know how to discern that attack mm-hmm. from where it has come. Right. And I know the areas where he's coming. So for me, a lot of it's just being prepared in the word when I get up in the morning, even if it's just worship music, taking time to acknowledge mm-hmm. that the Lord is with me. You know, sometimes it might just be reading a scripture and meditating on it. Other days I have more time. Right. But it's doing my best to be consistent with spending time with the Lord and being ready mm-hmm. for the day and walking in. You know, as Bethany talked about the humility, mm-hmm. but also the authority that God, there's nothing. You've given me divine appointments today. Mm-hmm. You've given me the head of demons to take today. So let's go. Yeah. And I don't know. And I don't need to fret that. I don't need to worry about that. I just need to walk in that. Mm-hmm. And so I would encourage our listeners to be prepared, but don't be fearful.
Right.
Because greater is, mm-hmm. is he that is in us, Jesus, than he that's in the world. Mm-hmm. And so that means we've won this war. Mm-hmm. So let's fight, right, as victors, mm-hmm. not as I gotta win. We've victims. Already won, mm-hmm. yeah. Or God forbid, it fight as from a victim mentality.
Yeah.
So that's what I would tell people.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I love you. Your daughter loves you,
and I love both of you, ladies.
The Lord loves you, and he is proud of you.
Mm-hmm. Because I will say yes.
Acknowledging yes,
yeah.
yes, acknowledging, yeah. what he really has called you to do. And there's a special assignment that even though we're in renovating you together, there's a special assignment for you within this ministry.
Correct.
And without it, but we kind of come to it in the context of renovating you. But each one of us voice matters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes the personalities that may pull back are not heard from. And I am encouraging you. I want to hear from you. Mm-hmm. I want to know.
Yeah.
I want you to say, this is what I think. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Same with mm-hmm. Bethany. And so I think that's going to be really good. And I think, again, I mean, God just keeps showing up more and more in the mm-hmm. ways in which we've needed him to, in ways in which we didn't even know how to give language to it.
Yeah. Or we didn't even know we needed him. We thought we had it.
Yeah, we did.
I've been running the race for decades. I know how to do this. Now you're going to run it my way.
Yeah.
Yes, you have been. I'm glad, so glad that you've been in the race. And you've done a lot of good for the kingdom, you know. But now I want to work with Beth. And I want to work on Beth. And I want to make her into who I've created her to be. And I want her to see that. So we're speaking that over you.
I receive it.
Yes. Bethany, tell everyone where they can find us, all the fun stuff.
All the fun stuff. Well, you can find us on our website at renovatingyou.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at renovatingyou. And then if you wouldn't mind, please leave a review. That really helps us, whether it's, you know, good job or, you know, great job, ladies, whatever that might be. And rate us 5 stars. That'd be awesome, because there's this thing with the algorithm and it just boosts us. So I'm not really sure what it does, but just do it.
Right? We need you.
We need you. Yes, we need you, because we know that this will, you know, people need to hear.
Yes. Well, I hope that you have enjoyed hearing Beth and what God has given her. I know I have. It's been fun to watch, fun to hear. And just unpacking it, because sometimes we're like, well, it isn't that much. I'm like, no, it's big. It just was subtle. Subtle can be very big, as a big bomb going off, like maybe like, you know, Bethany heard, or, you know, my story or whatever. It's like subtle is just as strong, because it causes us to ask, what did you mean by that?
Right.
What does that mean? Or did I miss this? Or what does that look like? Mm-hmm. So it causes you to look a little deeper. And I think that is, we are learning to become women and Christ followers who are wanting to go deep versus wide. We're wanting to go deep, and then the wide will come. But wide, when you haven't gone deep, is kind of like, what are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing? So we do want to take this far and wide, as wherever God wants to take it. But we want it to be deep, and that will call the few. But that's okay.
Yeah.
Right? That is okay, because that's what he wants this podcast and this ministry to do.
Yeah.
And so we're going to say, yes, Lord, you know, we're in your army. And it's like, yes, Lord, you know, whatever you want is how we're going to roll with this. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for your time, for your attention. I hope whether you're on a treadmill or you're in a car or laying awake in bed at night, maybe can't sleep, whatever it is, I hope it's been an encouragement to you. Until next time, renovators, see you later.
Bye-bye.